Cool. So are you ready to go?
I am ready to go.
Do you have your notes in front of you?
My notes are in front of me.
Okay. Are you sure that you're ready?
Yep, I'm
I mean,
totally nude.
you're you're not just, lying to me, right? Chris, I guess what I'm saying is, don't piss on my head and then call it rain. As just common courtesy. I
All right,
mean, the
then I need to confess then.
Oh, okay.
I'm wearing one glove.
You're wearing a single glove, and that is a
Yep.
glove that's on your mouse. Okay, good. I mean, because the last thing I want is for you to shit on my bun and call it a bratwurst. All right. I mean, just don't finger my butthole and call it a massage. All right. The thing I like least in the world is when somebody drops marbles down my snorkel and calls it unicorn eggs. Okay. I mean, do you see where I'm coming from?
The unicorn thing I get, the rest of it, not
I
so much.
mean, just have you ever? I mean, have you ever had somebody just like dress up like the devil and then hand you a box of candy canes and call himself Santa? It's just the most insulting thing in the world. I mean, just don't dress up like a clown and say that you're really my father. All right? If you weren't ready for this, what you would be doing, you would be murdering me, then having a lifelong sexual relationship with my bereaved wife in order to, quote, comfort her, and then call it my birthday present. Don't do that, Chris. We're here to podcast, okay?
Good Lord.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Yeah, sometimes I just want to jog in place in the shower.
Has anybody put a treadmill in a shower yet, Chris?
I'm sure.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I think that would be refreshing. I think that I mean that might get me to use a treadmill.
You have to take another shower?
Well, no, because you're like done.
But you're still sweating.
Yeah, but it's washing off of you like immediately.
Okay.
What episode is this, Chris?
Episode 25.
Episode 25 of Those Damn Ross Kids. And what say my name, say my name.
When no one is around you.
Say baby, I love you. My name is Cole, and you're Chris. Say hi,
I am.
Chris. Okay. We just want to differentiate each other, just because that's an issue. But you'll notice that Chris's voice, you're sounding exceedingly silky today. Have you changed your hair conditioner?
Yeah, I did.
You
Yep.
did? Did you also?
I went to a 2-in-1.
Okay.
A 2-in-1
Oh,
hair
it just saves
conditioner.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's also a body wash.
It's an aerosol spray. You don't even have to be in the shower. You just kind of just mist yourself with it. There you go.
That's all it is. Yep.
Yeah.
You can get it. You get the mister that you install on the door frame.
Yeah.
So you just get you on the way out.
Yeah. You don't even have to think about it.
Nope. Just
Nope.
walk through the door.
Yeah, it's like setting up a home alone trap, and except instead of lighting your hair on fire, it makes you smell sexy. Oh man, I'm waiting for the right time to make a home alone reference. I think that's about ready to come back into its own any day now.
I wish I could think of one.
I don't, really?
Yeah, I can't.
Ah,
No, I can do that,
yeah. I
but
mean, yeah. That's it.
that's just
That's
childish.
Spike's girlfriend. Woof.
Good Lord.
We had a kid in our school. I think it was up until high school. I forget his real name, but he looked exactly like Joe Pesci's sidekick from the Home Alone movies. I don't know that actor's name or anything, but Dan, right? I think his name was like Danny.
The voice of the Wonder Years.
Really? Was that
Yeah, that's the guy.
seriously?
Swear to God.
Man, it is a small world slash industry, but he looked exactly like that guy. We called him Danimal.
What will you be playing? I will be reading today for the role of Fred Savage's grown-up inner monologue, please.
Now, Winnie Cooper was a bit of a tease, but I think that it made me a better person inside. I was tempted to set up a bucket of marbles on top of the staircase and have her trip and fall down, but
Have you ever been
that was that.
hit with a paint can?
That sucks.
That's smarts.
I would love to see like the unfunny joke version of that, where it's like a newspaper headline, like burglars break in and kid just like straight up hospitalizes them.
Oh, I'd be so mad. I would be so freaking angry. I'd just run out and punch a panda.
Yeah. That's your stock response to anger, isn't it? Well, running out and punching a panda.
It would work out better for me if I lived in New York City.
Oh, how?
Because there's a guy, his name's Nate Hill, he's 33 years old. He dresses up as a panda bear and encourages passersby to hit him. He visits busy thoroughfares, businesses expecting layoffs, and he'll even make house calls just to have people punch him to lighten up their day. Whether they're dealing with relationship issues, work-related stress, or just boredom, hitting a panda makes all their faces glow.
Whether you're dealing with relationship issues, stress, or boredom, violence is always the answer.
This is a slippery slope.
Why a panda? Like, why wouldn't he be like a businessman? Like an executive, or a mime, or a clown? Or like a child molester, just walking around with sweatpants, no shirt, and like really thick glasses and long hair, but like bald on top.
Could be, but yeah, I think he needs the panda costume to be able to like, you know, hold the padding and stuff, like the breastplate.
Oh, yeah.
Cushioning.
Well, he could wear a fat suit as the peta.
Yeah, the guy actually says he admits that people sometimes cross the line and hit him in the face. The panda head offers little protection, so he just takes it off so that the person hitting him knows that they have to stop. Most people offer apologies.
That is really funny.
So sorry I punched you in the face.
I love the idea of like, you know how cars have crumple zones, you know, and computers have heat sinks. Just that there are people who are willing to volunteer for a fee, providing a service as an aggression sink. Just like, I'm here, I'm willing to take a punch for a buck, I'm going to do this. It's shockingly similar to the concept of a sin eater. Chris, have you heard about these guys?
No.
It's a practice in I believe like Buddhist countries, like Nepal and something like that. But monasteries and like, you know, towns and stuff will have one person who's appointed to like basically do nothing but gorge himself on food every single day. Because, you know, it's the idea that he's taking in all of the sins of the community through his body and purifying it and purifying the village or the monastery, etc., by just constantly eating. It's a sin eater, Chris. No, my tongue is really thick. It's a sin eater, Chris. Look it up.
Sin eater.
Sin eater. Yeah. It's also a King Crimson album, but,
You know how you're always trying to like terrify me with these diseases?
Yeah.
They're just god awful.
Okay.
They kind of make me feel like I have them.
Yeah.
I found a lady today in the pre-production, pre-pro, who described her disease, and I'm gonna slap on a seductive voice and I'm gonna read the way that she describes this disease that she has. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. She loved the smooth texture of the ice cream on her tongue. When she felt a tingle, she feels a tingle in her genital area. The pressure keeps building until suddenly it sweeps through her entire body. She feels lightheaded and flushed. She has no doubt it's an orgasm.
Oh, wow.
She's a 25-year-old Colorado woman who suffers from persistent genital arousal disorder, which causes her to have orgasms without any sexual stimulation. Every time she eats a rich, creamy dessert, she feels that tingling between her legs.
Oh, God, that sounds like hell.
No, she's embracing it.
Is she?
Yeah, she's got it under control. Some, you know, some people would be a little bit worried or kind of like self-conscious about it. Not this broad. She runs out and buys an ice cream maker so that she can enjoy her knee-trembling orgasms whenever she wants.
Huh.
In the past 5 years, she's put on 209 pounds.
There we go.
There's the hook. She now weighs 490 pounds and is perfectly happy with her figure.
That is, God, that's cause and effect right there.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah. That's like addiction in its purest form.
It's kind of like you, but if you could blow yourself, would you ever leave the house?
I mean, probably to get mouthwash, but
I mean, in this situation, when you bought the when you buy the ice cream maker and the person says, "Would you like the extended warranty?" You're like,
this thing is going to get a lot of mileage.
this thing's just gonna churn.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, I've heard about this, the persistent genital arousal thing, and like most people who have it, it's like a special form of hell because like there's no break from it, and just like the orgasm response and like the holy shit panic attack pain response, they're really really similar, and so it's just like, oh God, this again, until finally they're just like they're so utterly desensitized to it. But she but she is She's gonna ride this one for all it's worth then, I suppose.
Oh yeah,
Chris,
one man.
this woman, obviously has a problem. She can't stop, apparently eating ice cream and coming. But what if? Now this is just a big what if. What if you couldn't stop rapping? Just you couldn't.
You, is this your job, or do you do other? I mean, are you like a
Well, it's not.
street,
It's not
you're
a.
like a
It's
street
it.
vendor? Do you sell like homemade bracelets or?
It's not a. It's not a. Medical thing. It's something. It is this man's profession. But rapper Chidera Chitty Onimaj, one half of the group Chitty Bang, succeeded earlier today in breaking the Guinness World Record for longest freestyle rap. Chitty let loose his flow for 9 hours and 15 minutes. He continued rapping even when he went to the restroom. The producer, like the Guinness record guys, followed him into the restroom as he went in to micturate. He never broke his flow while he was flowing out of the tip of his penis. Urine, I'm talking about. Now, what made Chitty think he was the one to break the record? Quote, "I freestyle probably like once a day," the rapper said, continuing, "That's better than a lot of people, if you really think about it. I never put myself to this maximum test, but it's very exciting for me, Chris." Like, my question is, obviously that's a long time to rap. I mean, I think that might have been longer than Bernie Sanders was up doing his filibuster. But how do you not run out of topics to rap about, right?
He's like Randy Newman. He just sings about what he
He's just
sees.
rapping about people. I'd have to have like a teleprompter just with like Wikipedia articles just to pull it up. I mean, like if somebody asked me, "Hey, can you podcast for 9 hours and 15 minutes?" That's the only way that I could do it, because the hardest part about this, being funny on a microphone, it just, it's something that, not to sound arrogant, but kind of, comes naturally to me to a certain extent. But coming up with things to talk about, man, I just like that. How do you prepare for that? Because I would find myself, falling back to rehearsed beats and, rehearsed rhymes pretty quick. But then again, I'm not as inspired as Chitty.
So do they listen back over the recording to make sure that it is all real, like like real freestyle, like he's not stealing, like he's not sampling?
I'm not sure. I know that in reading, like he did pull from his own work. So at that point, I'm not sure if the record is about, like who does the best freestyle rap for the longest. I think it's more of an endurance thing. Like, can you keep the flow going, going, going for that long? So it doesn't matter what you say. I mean, you could do it. You could scat for 9 hours and 15 minutes. I think as far as the Guinness, world record goes. It's not like, Arlie Ermey auditioning for Full Metal Jacket and like going for 15 minutes without repeating himself as he was chewing people out while being under fire by tennis balls.
That happened?
Yeah, that's a thing. You don't know that?
No.
No, that's how he got that role. Like he got in front of Kubrick and he's like, "I can do this." He didn't repeat himself. It was like some like really long time, and they had like a tennis ball serving machine like trained on him the whole time as he was going through and chewing out recruits that were just standing there.
That's funny.
Yeah, but yeah, not 9 hours and 15 minutes of the freshest freestyle jams, or we assume they're at least somewhat fresh.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Good on
good
him.
good for him.
Good. That is so proud.
Good for him.
So proud. So proud of him.
Does that segue into anything that you wanted to talk about?
She's got a good flow.
Yeah. Contrast, Chris. Contrast.
Contrast. Explain.
So explain.
What are you drinking?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm drinking a rum and coke.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I got an import.
Ooh, what do you have?
Oh gosh, it's hard to pronounce. It's rice wine.
Oh, a sake?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I gotcha.
Tazi Sanbian Jiu or something like that.
I'd have to see it.
Yeah, it translates to three penis liquor. It's only sold in China.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it like a three cheese pizza, except this one has like tiger dong, rhino dong, and like child dong?
So close.
Oh.
Seal penis, deer penis, and Cantonese dog dick.
Okay. Like, is there a reason, or is it just because, Chinamen love the gobble cocks?
It's a virility tonic, man.
Okay.
Yep. All of the dick ingredients that I mentioned are all popular ingredients in Chinese traditional medicine.
Okay.
And the liquor is said to increase male potency and virility.
And only one of those is endangered. So good on them.
What?
The seal.
Oh, the seal?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize seals were endangered.
Certain kinds, I guess. I mean, they might have some kind of, like, you know, really, really numerous seal that they can just harvest.
That's what they do. That is one of two reasons that I can give you why we in the Chinese will never be friends.
You're good at finding reasons for that.
Oh, never ever will we be friends. And I thought, you know, I think I might have been able to overlook the three dick liquor.
Yeah.
But
three dick liquor. I think that's a title I saw yesterday on Pornhub. But
that
continue.
Is so different.
Okay.
And then I read this.
Okay.
And it connects here because we're getting in the throng of spring here.
Yeah, it's nice.
Spring, I say maybe is half sprung. And in China,
okay,
they have these things called Tang Zidan.
Okay.
Or virgin eggs. They're similar to tea eggs, hard boiled, soaked in soy sauce and vinegar. The only difference between tea eggs and virgin eggs is that virgin eggs are soaked in urine.
But you're urine from virgin women?
No. Oh. That would be all right.
I could get behind that.
We could be friends. We could be friends if that was the case.
Yeah. That's just ethical,
come on over.
Really.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, is this beef grass-fed? Is this urine virgin? Okay.
This is, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good.
It's good.
This is a street food. Vendors collect virgin boys' urine from elementary school.
Oh, God!
From elementary schools around the city and use it as the main ingredient.
Do you suppose there's a contract?
No, this gets so much better.
Okay.
Plastic barrels are placed outside of the classrooms, and the boys are reminded to pee in them unless they're sick. Did you might want to get out a note card and a pen to take this recipe down?
Okay, I've got my. You know, I am always flush with index cards.
Okay, virgin little boy urine.
Okay.
Boil it.
Okay, I'm boiling.
Plop in the eggs.
All right.
Then crack the shells of the eggs to allow the flavorful little boy urine to slip through.
That just makes me sad, Chris. Is that it?
Soak in urine. Boil again in urine. Don't plan anything for tomorrow, because this process is going to take an entire day.
Oh, no.
Yep. Some people say that they have the taste of spring, while others claim they're so delicious they could eat 10 a day.
How much does one of these go for?
Doesn't matter.
No. No. I pay any price.
No dollars. No dollar amounts too much for these things.
Clearly.
Shit, you should be so lucky. That happens.
That's a thing that people do. That's a thing that people pay for.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't do that here, dude. You could not. You
could have. You kept it a secret.
You could not have a barrel of urine. Even if you dressed up as a delivery man and wheeled in on a dolly a barrel already full of urine, you could not get that into school, let alone hack off the top of that barrel, say, hey, it's empty, and just start pulling boys up and say, hey, be in this. You could not do that.
Going back to my original question, so do these vendors have a contract with the school, just like saying, hey, we'll give you a kickback or a portion of the profit so long as you have your boys piss in this barrel?
I don't even know, dude.
I mean, I'm as much of a proponent as, you know, of cultural relativism as, you know, as the next man. But wow, that's really, really something. So kind of like the penis brow, you know, cock brow that they had going on there for a little bit. Is there supposed to be like an effect that has? Is that like cleansing, or is that just strictly, is it a sexual thing? I can't wrap my head around it.
I think it's just to get it out of the way.
To get what out of the way?
You just do this every spring, and you know that that's the most fucked up thing you're going to do all year. You're just like, that's out of the way, and it's not going to get any weirder than that. That is not going to happen.
Oh, Chris. I mean, and there's the other thing. Okay, it might be kind of like an inoculation almost. Hear me out. You know, odds are good that in the course of a given day, maybe a week, you know, maybe a month, at least once in our lifetimes, at least we've ingested urine. You know. And to knowingly ingest that urine, just like to say, boom, I've done it. It's not that bad. I've taken it in at quantity, so those trace amounts are not going to bother me down the line, right? It's kind of like you said, that's the worst that it's going to get, because there are so many ways that you can, you know, unintentionally get urine into your system. I have a question for you, Chris. Kind of related to this. What do you do when you get a sore throat?
I take some NyQuil, or
take some NyQuil, but like, you know, when you're not, you know, ready to go, like sleepy time, like when you're out and about, like, you know, like a portable. Do you use like a cough drop?
No, generally I snort garlic powder.
Oh, really?
No,
that sounds refreshing. Okay. Well, if you were using cough drops, and you, constant listener, if you were using cough drops, this next story might actually dissuade you from using cough drops ever again. Now, a man has been arrested after being caught on tape urinating on cough drops in a Florida Walgreens. Larry Donald White Jr. faces criminal mischief and destruction of property charges after unzipping his fly in the middle of an aisle and pissing all over nearly $300 worth of cough drops. So he is being held away from society at large because he is a danger to both himself and others. He gave no reason for doing it other than he could.
If I was that judge, I'd be like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's nothing stopping you from doing that.
Not at all.
So my question to you about that is that a person who's crazy and has like no regard for the rules that society upholds, or is he operating on some kind of like really high Tyler Durden-esque level of like enlightenment? Is he making a social statement, Chris?
It's performance art.
It's performance art with unwitting participants.
Yeah, definitely. I just hope it doesn't catch on. I mean, he's like, oh, jeez, I hate craft singles. I just want to be on them.
Yeah.
Take that to the produce aisle.
Halls, more like balls.
Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
Stop peeing. Don't pee on me.
When you were little, did you think that piss came from your balls?
I think maybe for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, just like that was the only conceivable place. Like what other function could your testicles have served other than as storage for urine?
Or lessening contrast. One's really small.
When you were little, did you think that the boogeyman would steal your feet?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I was more worried about him maybe like, don't know, maybe punching me and
Boogeyman's a dick. He just punches kids in their sleep.
just jumped out and punched me.
God. Yeah, no, I for a while I thought that the boogeyman was going to steal my feet, so I slept with socks on.
Just sat in the corner all night and crinkled a chip wrapper.
It kept them away.
Shut up.
Too bad, like, sun chips weren't like a thing back then.
Just
Topical.
chunking on gum.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, can I give you a quiz?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm feeling pretty smart.
Yeah, okay. So we've warmed up. We've got our think meet going. And just related to a bunch of things that we've talked about. A lot of this has to do with human behavior, and a lot of human behavior can be elucidated by the scientific process. Okay? So scientists go out and they perform studies to get better insight into the human condition, the natural world around us. But some of these studies are a little bit suspect, I would say. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
I would agree.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leverage the natural absurdity of some of these studies that I found in the course of my pre-production, and I'm going to throw in, maybe, one out of three of my own that I made up, and it is your job to spot the fake one that is kind of nestled in with the two other real studies that I present to you. Okay?
All right.
Okay. So I have three sets of three, and you just tell me which one is fake. All right.
Sounds great.
Okay. So I'll give you the study title and then kind of a summary of what they were trying to find and what they found. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. First set. The effect of country music on suicide. The study hypothesizes and confirms that metropolitan areas with more country music airtime have higher suicide rates. The effects of orbital gravity on illicit substances. A NASA study shows that lab rats are more prone to drug addiction when cocaine is administered in space than when it is administered on terra firma. And finally, rectal foreign bodies, a collection and citation of several worldwide reports of foreign bodies retrieved from rectal cavities, including light bulbs, frozen pigs' tails, and a set of spectacles, among others. Which one of those is fake?
Cocaine in space.
What makes you say that?
Terra firma.
That is the fake one. Damn it. I thought that seemed like sciency. That's like a thing.
Sounded like you
Damn
being sciency.
it. Oh man, I'm worried that you've like caught on to my tricks. You know my tendencies. All right. So you're 1-0 right now, okay?
Good enough.
Okay, good enough for government work, which I hopefully some of these studies weren't. Okay, next one. Chickens prefer beautiful humans. On the whole, chickens responded favorably to males and females whose features were consistent with human sexual preferences. Love and sex with robots. The study posits that a human-robot marriage will be legal by 2050. And finally, the consequences of traumatic interspecies sexual activity. The study is a collection of literature and citations regarding the effects of bestiality on the animal. A statistically significant number of animals will commit suicide or acts of self-harm following unwanted sexual advances by humans. Which one of those is fake?
The middle one.
The love and sex with robots?
Yep.
What's your thinking on that?
Posits.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chris, what you have to realize is that I wrote all of the summaries. Like, I didn't copy and paste the two real ones and then write the like I read them, or at least the abstracts, and wrote it myself. With that in mind, The Love and Sex with Robots is a real thing. Out of the other two, which one do you think is the real one?
The real one?
Yeah, or the fake one, whichever.
The chicken.
The chicken is real?
The
Which is it? What was the chicken, real or fake?
chicken is real.
Okay, the chicken is real. The consequences of traumatic interspecies sexual activity is fake. So you're currently w one
One.
on, one off. So the next one will determine if you have a winning record or a losing record.
All right.
Okay.
Go, cool.
Correlation between self-stimulation and longevity. The study hypothesizes that there is a correlation between masturbation habits and long life. Those who start earlier and do so more often tend to live longer. Flatulence as a defense mechanism. This study tells the story of a premature baby who responded to distressing stimuli by farting in order to surround himself with a cloud of familiar and therefore comforting smells. And finally, navigation-related structural change in the hippocampi of taxi drivers. A study of the brains of London taxi drivers finds that the neural pathways relating to navigation in the hippocampus are more developed than those of non-taxi drivers. Which one of those is fake?
Farting baby.
Farting baby? Farty baby?
Yeah.
Too bad, so sad. That one is real.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Is that the hippocampus?
No, that one was also real.
Good.
The correlation between self-stimulation and longevity is the one that I made up out of those.
Wouldn't it be nice if that was true?
Yeah. I mean, Methuselah, yeah.
You mean if you lived a long time?
Yeah, I probably if that was a real thing, I would probably on the bell curve fall towards the upper end of that. What I'm saying is, I you know, it follows. It follows. I'm a man. I have needs. You can't judge me.
I could.
And I have.
I am.
Chris, I like to talk about the end times a lot. Don't mind the people screaming outside my house.
I was just trying to figure out what that was. I was trying to listen to the quiz and I hear, woo!
My neighborhood fucking sucks, man. But
Why are they yelling at that cow? Take the shirt off that cow. Show us your teats.
terrible.
It's
But
like, why does that cow have a shirt?
I don't know. Cow having a shirt might be the sign of the end times. God knows this
Probably.
next story is. A Norwalk, Ohio couple returned home to a terrifying biblical sight. The creek that they lived by for several years had turned blood red. Said the husband, "We came home and saw the creek. Everywhere we looked, it was just blood red. I've never seen anything like it. It was that scary. If you are religious, you would think it was the end times.
Dun
It
dun
was
dun.
just that red." Chris,
It's deep red.
so red.
It's the deepest red I've ever
It's
heard.
the it's so red. There's blood everywhere. The rivers are running red with the blood of the innocent and the piss of virgins.
I think they're still here.
I think they're still here. They're still bleeding and pissing all over the place. Tell them to stop.
What would
It's
you like for
disturbing.
supper?
I probably want ribs. Can I have ribs?
I really don't want ribs. Can we have meatloaf?
Can we have rib loaf? It's
So red.
like, oh God, it's all so red. Can we have non-red rib loaf? It's like meatloaf, but it's rib meat. It's great.
Is this the Whisper Cast?
This is the Whisper Cast.
Boo.
Chris. Yeah. So that's a thing that happens. I mean, what do you think of that, Chris? Is it end times?
And no.
No? Okay. You're right. It's not the end times. In fact, the coloring came from an abandoned powder coating factory upstream.
That is so not what I was going to guess, but.
What were you gonna guess?
I don't know, that was like a prank or something.
Oh yeah. The Kool-Aid man tripped.
Yeah. The Kool-Aid man bonked his handle, broke right off.
Yep.
Yep, that's how that happened. That's how that went down. Poison the water.
How do you think the Kool-Aid man reproduces? I know this is such a Family Guy thing. I'm just curious.
The cool that bell sounds like the end times.
Yeah, and we have a beautiful Catholic church down the road from where I live. Problem is, bells every once in a while. So
Bells, 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 bells.
bells palsy.
Don't
Yeah,
know what that is.
I don't. It's a thing. I.
Yeah, it's like a mini stroke in your face or something.
Yeah. Just not a grand mal, a petite mal, but
Hey Cole,
yeah.
how long has it been since you thought about Genghis Khan?
I don't know. Genghis Khan, like the dictator, the horseback archery guy, the Mongolians.
That's a guy, yeah.
Yeah. He like conquered like half of the known world.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
Yeah, he was super good at killing people. He was
Yeah.
like one of the best. I mean, I tend to think about Genghis Khan, I'd say maybe once a month. Like I think about him as much as I think about like Machiavelli or, Attila the Hun. Or Joan of Arc. I think I'm running out of people from civilization, so I will stop.
Do
Why
you
do you
think
ask?
maybe do you think that maybe you could break out a like I don't know, a little thank you card and just send it back in time to him and just say, hey Genghis, hey, great job. Sorry it ended. But
Sorry, you had to die the way you did.
that was a bummer, but thanks for like the world still being here and us still having like air to breathe and stuff.
Oh, like is he responsible for more good stuff than bad stuff than we initially thought?
He has recently earned the title of the greenest invader in the history of man.
Huh.
It's a common misconception that the human impact on climate began with the large-scale burning of coal and oil in the industrial era. Actually, humans started to influence the environment thousands of years ago by changing the vegetation cover of the Earth's landscape when we cleared forests for agriculture. The armies of Genghis Khan killed so many people that huge cultivated areas once again became covered with thick forests that absorbed carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. According to historical data, during the rule of Genghis Khan, the Mongol Empire was responsible for the deaths of over 40 million people, which in turn helped remove around 700 million tons of carbon dioxide from the Earth's atmosphere.
Wow.
So, thanks, man.
Hey, good going. You destroyed everything that the only thing that was left to take over it was nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You just take it, and that was what was cool back then is that you took it by force. You took power by force.
Yeah, you just went in and, what's best in life, Chris? To destroy your enemies and hear the lamentations of their women, right?
Limitations of their women.
Yeah.
Women are powerful now, though.
Yeah, they were then too, just in a different, less visible way.
They can mostly vote and
They
run for
can
office, like.
mostly vote. They
Well,
can drive
I'm talking
cars.
about worldwide,
Oh, okay, yeah.
worldwide.
Yeah.
I actually have a story. It's pretty uplifting about the power of a Spanish woman.
Oh, tell
Do you
me.
want to hear about it?
Yeah.
The lady's name is Soleil Sanchez. She's a Spanish politician in Spain, like a real Spaniard. Remember you're talking about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
She.
she's not like shaking maracas and eating tortillas. She's like slinging
Exactly.
paella
Yeah.
in front of a bowl.
Getting bombed in the subway. But
Jesus Christ, continue.
well, there's no subways in Mexico.
Yeah.
No. There might be, they call it the burrow. It's a tunnel in which you are dragged through by a burrow.
Let's ruminate on that for a second. Okay, go ahead, go ahead.
But the lady's name, like I said, is Soleil Sanchez. She's a Spanish politician from Spain, real Spain. She's recently been accused of sexism because of a campaign poster that she's put up in her bid for, I think it's like a city council or something like that. But the poster shows her bare nipple exposed breasts being groped from behind by a man, accompanied by the slogan, Dos Grandes Argumentos, which translates to two
Two big
big arguments.
arguments.
Yep. She's a Democratic Party candidate, and she decided to use her best assets in the election for town council, like I said. So, she's been forced to withdraw the posters. And I say posters because she had another one which she appeared wearing underwear only, with her hands and feet tied in a sadomasochistic way.
Huh, I like that. No, Chris, politics, you have to play dirty. And in female politics, you have to play like a dirty girl. That's just a dirty girl.
Dirty
No, I
girl.
mean, yeah, she was objectifying herself, and by extension, to a certain point, all other women. But you know, I think that, and by some people, could be seen as empowering to a certain extent. Because I think basically the hypothesis of all that is these people are stupid enough to vote for me simply because I have titties. And by these people, I mean men.
Yeah, I guess she's pretty popular for that,
Yeah, no, I mean, good for her. I don't know her policies, but so seriously, she was being who accused her of this? Was it like other women, or was it like the guy politician saying, "Hey, no fair,"
yeah,
because I can't do that. Oh.
that's how it went. Yeah, nope, can't do that.
Then you
Hey.
should. Then you should.
I saw the picture. I'm sorry.
Hey, whatever.
Yeah.
They have different values over there, Chris. I think that by superimposing our own, Puritan American, beliefs on that matter, on them, we're doing them a disservice. Kind of like saying, hey, maybe trying to pump it with the penis in the boy's urine.
Yeah.
Who are we to say? It's a very mature culture, let's say.
I wouldn't kick her out of the seat next to me on the
I
borough.
mean, I wouldn't kick her out of the seat of power.
No.
Sorry, the burrow.
Oh, you ride the DS? Yeah, me too.
So, Chris, I mean, it's just funny. The women are so accepted and so powerful over there that that's a thing that could happen in the first place, let alone, happen and then have a reaction like that. Whereas over here, we're operating at a lower level. Can I tell you a story, Chris?
I'd love to hear it, Cole.
About a woman in North Royalton, Ohio. She was driving, probably had a few, at least according to the cops who saw her swerving over the lanes. So she was lit up by the police, whatever that sound is, probably flashed the lights. And she, pulled over into a Taco Bell parking lot. She got in line at the drive-thru, police right behind her, ordered food. The police, came over the loudspeaker, said, "Hey, exit the vehicle because you are under arrest." And instead of pulling over to the side, she pulled up to the second window and got her order. Her delicious Taco Del Grande, or whatever it was that she ordered from Taco Bell.
Excuse me, ma'am in the silver Honda Accord. Don't forget the cinnamon twist. You forgot last time.
You paid for them. They were on the receipt, but they didn't give them to you. I told you no tomatoes. But her blood alcohol level, Chris, twice the legal limit.
Twice? Point
Twice.
point
Point point.
one six.
Yeah, 0.16. That's a lot.
Like an amateur.
I would like to I would like to do a quick Google search. I'm not going to do it right now because it'll pick up over the audio. I'd like to do a quick Google search, like what the highest blood alcohol level like ever recorded was. Like if there is a I mean maybe an official competition, like a Guinness thing, like the freestyle rap. But just like what is physically the drunkest that a person has ever been and still lived? I mean, I don't want somebody to die for science if they don't have to. But what's the highest?
Where somebody was able to maintain, like they didn't have to go get their stomach pumped, like they just blew and then like went to bed,
That's tough.
woke up the next morning, felt like poop,
Yeah.
like oh man.
More than likely. I think that ultimately where I want that study to lead, can a person be drunk enough that when they're cut, their blood comes out and a spark hits and it lights on fire? Can a person have blood fire? Can a person be blood fire drunk?
Probably not.
Blood fire also happens to be the name of my metal rock opera.
I'd like to hear that.
You would?
Yeah.
Bloodfire. It's still, it's still in the works.
How does that puppet play the harmonica?
It's a recording. I have to, you know, we tried it. We worked the animatronics, but they're just not sophisticated enough. You know, we tried to do the player piano type of thing. You know, basically like an organ. Yeah, but it's tough. We did a lot of stuff with mirrors and ropes. Didn't really work out. But you know, it's tough. It's more of a production thing, and just, you know, you write it in hopes that you can pull it off in a convincing way. But if you can't, you know, hey, you move on. The story has to be told. You know, puppets terrify me, Chris. To a certain extent, like sock puppets, I'm okay with. Like Syphil and Ollie, you know, like I'm down with those cats. But like, oh man. Do they still run those commercials with the Snuggle Bear?
Snuggle. What was that? What was that for?
The Snuggle Bear for Snuggle Fabric Softener.
Oh no, that's not what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking about another one. It was like a, I don't know if it was an allergy medicine or what, but it was like a bear that would like walk across the screen dragging a blanket and then turn and take its thumb out of its mouth and
Was our
tell you just to pretend like you were asleep and that it's almost over.
At a certain point, you're going to think that you're going to be able to wake up and have it all be fine. That's not going to be the case this time. Are you talking about the animated bears that advertise the toilet paper that doesn't like ball up in your ass hair?
Is that the one?
I think so. Like there's the mama bear and the baby bear, and they're like against the tree, and the toilet paper is like on a twig, like an offshoot, and it's like right there, and they're like scratching the back on the tree, and just like it actually shows the baby's butt, like the baby bear's butt, and it shows like the little balls of toilet paper that are right there. Is the bear you're talking about animated? Because that bear is carrying a blanket.
No, I think it's it's
Yeah, it's animated.
animated.
Like it's got like a little like watercolor kind of style.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
he hops on what appears to be my bike and carries away my TV.
It's in the front basket, like ET. It's ET TV, ETV. But no, I'm talking about the Snuggle Bear, Chris. Like a little like koala looking motherfucker who has like a really raspy high voice. Like, hey, Chris. My fabric softener is amazing.
So you talk like the Snuggle Bear off air. Why don't you use that voice all the time?
Ah, 'cause I'm a broadcast person. This
That's what I think when you
is
see.
my normal voice.
That's almost as disappointing as when you see like local radio personalities
They're all fat.
and they're all like,
They're all like
"Whoa,
so stupid fat.
you're like a you look bad."
Like you like maybe cut down from two packs a day to one.
How do you do that? Your face
I
looks
don't
like a
know.
cantaloupe rind.
Yeah.
It's awful.
I can't help the way I look or sad. As the face like fucking melts off. Yeah, just that terrifies me. I just get like terror bile in the back of my throat. It's look it up on YouTube. It's like it's uniformly terrifying.
I'm scared.
You should be. Run as fast as you can. Chase the devil tonight, you don't chase the devil tonight.
Chase the devil tonight, you don't chase the devil tonight. Chase the devil tonight. This has been Those Damn Roskids.
And it's kind of sad. You always talk about stuff going, you know, the world's coming to an end. You know, summer 2011, everyone dies.
May 21st.
Really? Like, come on then. But, have you ever heard of Aya Peneco? It's a language.
No.
Yeah, it's a language, an ancient Mexican language. It's been kind of spoken by fewer and fewer people over the last few hundred years, but it's in danger of becoming extinct because there's only two people left on the world who speak it,
Okay.
can speak and understand it, and write it and read it. And they refuse to talk to each other.
Did like the one guy bang the other guy's wife or?
No, not at all. The one guy is 75, his name is Manuel. And the other guy's 69, and his name is Isidro. They live 500 meters apart. They just don't get along. The people in the village say that it's because of an old feud, but most of them think that it's just because they don't have very much in common, other than the fact that they're the only two people on Earth who speak each other's language.
That seems like a pretty big thing. Do they speak each other's language like exclusively? Like, is are they just two
No.
hermits? Okay.
Not at all. That would make this way more awesome. But they say that Manuel is kind of just an irritable old guy,
Yeah, as
and
most tend to
that
be.
Isidro is just, he's more stoic and he just doesn't get out of the house much.
Right.
Yeah, that's how that
That's
went down. So
sad.
the language is gonna die because these two dudes just can't, they can't find some common ground. They can't come
They
together.
can't squash the beef. They can't keep it alive. That's a whole culture, Chris.
Wouldn't it be something though if these two dudes, say they have internet in their village,
Yeah,
and
let's
let's just say they met on Facebook, and then the one guy, Manuel, is like, "Hey, Isidro, have you heard of that podcast called Those Damn Ross Kids?" But he would say it in the language that's gonna die,
Yeah. Glad to brought in Nick, though. Yeah.
and then they would go back to back and forth about it, and then eventually their friendship would develop around this podcast,
Yeah.
and they would sell like one they might open a lemonade stand in the village and raise money to be able to donate to the podcast.
Yeah.
And then they could just do that.
They could do that, and they could kindle a friendship, Chris, and they could rekindle a language.
And we could save it
We could.
just because of what we do.
And we'd be national heroes, Chris. Not in, a nation that matters. I mean, but in Mexico, and that's next best. America's basement is what I call it, Chris.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
America's basement's flooded with blood and heads.
And bloody heads.
Yeah.
So I think the moral of that story, Chris, is you probably found this podcast either through your village bulletin board, or you probably found it at thosedamnrosskids.com or on the Gooncast website. And if you found it there, you also have a shockingly wide open portal into the body of our content. So you can go and you can download old episodes of the show from iTunes. You can subscribe to us. You can leave us a review. I think the review is possibly the most helpful thing you can do. But hey, that's just me. I'm just feeding ducks here. And you can also go, like you said, if you're gonna raise lemonade money, you can pop on over to thosedamnrosskids.com/donate. Throw us a couple bucks. Chris just got a new microphone, if you can tell by the difference in his sound. That helps out. So thank you so much for listening. I assume that you would like to thank the listeners for listening as well, Chris.
Yeah, gee, thanks.
Chris, I think we talked about this. Attitude. Attitude, Chris.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, if you're whatever. Good night.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, we're so glad you could give us an hour.